Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Mr. President, to Iran in this moment.
Don't.
God! Tell the world that I saved you all.
Don't tell me what to do.
Iran has launched an historic attack against Israel. Iran sent drones and missiles toward Israeli territory.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I once had a potato mailed to me. It came in a FedEx box. It was an actual potato. It's because that within the Fox universe, I used to be called Humpty Dumpty.
I want to look like mashed potatoes.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
They need more cowbell as they go down that first mile. Downhill. Everybody feels froggy when they get out there.
I ate more fettuccine alfredo and drank less water than I have in my entire life.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Well, not quite. It's Toby Leary sitting in for Howie Carr. And that's quite an intro, I gotta say. I'm not even going to comment on the stelter part, but that's just priceless. But anyway, 844-500-4242 is the number.
Go there.
Go there. I am happy you're here. The one thing I will go there on is don't. One word answer, don't. Well, they did, didn't they? So now what? Instead of saying don't, they said we did. And now what? It's going to be don't again? Or is it going to be, if you do, are we not having that conversation? That's probably not happening, especially from everything you read about. Like the White House is urging restraint after Iran's attack on Israel, as I read the headline right now. It's always on Israel to do the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing, right? Like, make sure you don't defend yourself. Make sure you don't attack and root out the problem. You know, you can only attack a little. Like, if you want to respond, you can do that, but you can't eradicate the problem. And so along those lines, interesting story here. This guy, I got to tell you, Jared, I am constantly surprised by the guy I was extremely critical of that comes out of Pennsylvania, Senator John Fetterman. He says, first of all, he said that they smoked that Iranian general, which I love that. That's the type of thing Trump would say, right? And the left is just, they ignore what Fetterman says, apparently. And so anyway, the Democratic Party, Pennsylvania's John Fetterman praised Israel during CNN interview Sunday and expressed that the United States should continue to support its key Middle East ally. And Fetterman appeared on State of the Union. And he said, well, a couple of things. Actually, I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kind of conditions on that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones toward Israel, I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And I'm right there with you. I think we wouldn't accept conditions being put on us if Mexico was lobbing drones and missiles into our borders. We would be like, cowboy up, folks, you know, saddle up, we are going. And, you know, we expect Israel to have the same restraint against hostile actors against them. And, you know, you see all these protests erupting all over the country. I wonder what percentage of them are just ill-informed. I wonder how many of them really hate Israel and Jews. This is anti-Semitism on a scale that I didn't think existed, to be honest with you. But anyway, the callers want to talk about it too. So let's go to the phones. Joe, you're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Toby, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Nice job sitting in for Howie, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. It just infuriates me as a United States citizen to see this kind of rabble in my country and my fellow Americans' country, to see these people chanting death to America.
Right.
Where else can you do that? And if you were in somebody else's country doing that, you'd be let off to a secret warehouse or a field or something, never to be seen again.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. And I support the right to do that. However, when they stop the roadways and ambulances and everything else, then it becomes a massive problem. That's actually where I think they should be labeled domestic terrorists.
Well, big time. And I'll tell you what, it pains me to say this because I don't agree with you anymore. If they're standing on a sidewalk, and maybe that's what you're referring to, stand somewhere. But come on, death to America in our country, in this, a place where we allow for freedoms that unlike any other place in the world. And this trash is, you know, getting in the way, like you said, to your point, of ambulances and people trying to get to where they need to go. Hmm. I mean, let's say that there's a scenario where an ambulance was stopped and an elderly person needed it because they were having a cardiovascular event.
Right.
And they died. Is that a murder charge?
It's something I've been thinking about a lot, Joe. And like look at all the energy, time, money, effort, media coverage from January 6th, right? And I guarantee with everything I'm seeing on the TV today, from all of these protests, well-organized, well-funded, well-attended, and very effective in New York, Chicago, Miami, San Francisco, happening, people's lives are being lost. I promise you. There's no way around it. You just can't do that to that many people, affect that huge amount of people, and not have somebody die as a result. I guarantee that if you were to follow the rabbit trail down to the end, someone didn't get medical treatment, someone didn't get the kidney in time, someone didn't get the blood or the, you know, to the hospital in the first place, or not to mention the economic impact. This is terrorism. This is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars to corporations, to individuals, to people, to society. The productivity that was supposed to happen today didn't as a result. And I agree. I think it needs to be like the good old saying, you know, bleep around and find out, needs to apply here. That's really what it comes down to. Those people I'm watching on the San Francisco Bridge that have been there for hours and hours with their arms in tubes and chains and, you know, chained and tethered together, they should have backed up those flatbed tow trucks right up to the front of those cars, lowered the ramp, hooked them up and pulled it up and let them climb aboard at the same time and drive off. It should have been over in 10, 15 minutes. You know, obviously traffic was stopped, so they could have just come down the oncoming traffic, do a 3-point turn, back up, hook up and head out and let them figure out how to hold on and let them figure out how to, because there's more important things than your selfish will in society, right? And that's one of the things that just drives me crazy is they're petulant children who've never been told no. And, you know, the cost of supporting what they're doing is something that we're never going to know the total scale of. Dave, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, first, that's really just economic extortion and terrorism. So the reason I'm calling is that the only reason that Joe Biden gave the go-ahead to intercept those drones and missiles was because he knew that if any of that stuff got through to Israel, Israel would have done what should have been done in the 80s, and that would be to bomb the living crap out of Iran. And that's the only reason. And as far as don't, what's the payback?
Right.
That wasn't payback. That was just stopping them from hurting somebody. No, that isn't payback. Payback is when you take out some of their naval vessels or maybe some of their ports or maybe some of their nuclear systems. But, you know, no, this is just such blatant crap that they care about Israel. They don't care about Israel at all, you know, and God is watching it, and he's got it all under his control.
Yeah.
So let's see what he does.
I agree with you, Dave. Thanks for the call, and we're going to dip into that as well. I was telling Jared off the air that I might take a little different approach on this whole thing. And we're about to jump into that as well. But let's go get one more call in. Dave, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dave. Another Dave.
Hi, how you doing? I was just trying to understand the legal precedent for the person who was found guilty and going to jail for, was it manslaughter?
I think it was. It was involuntary manslaughter, yes. That was the the charge.
Do you think the professional equivalent, because it's a professional tragedy, do you think the professional equivalent might be, say, a surgeon or maybe a surgeon overseeing a medical student who's studying surgery at Mass General, and he says, okay, you need to cut this artery right here. He cuts the wrong artery, the patient dies. Does that student, the medical student, or the person overseeing that medical student who's responsible for a life and death situation, does he have the same liability from a
legal standpoint? Thanks for the call, Dave. I doubt it. The one thing that, like, if you check CDC mortality rates and death rates, and you know, the Moms Demand Action love to say, which is totally false and a lie, and it's a manipulation of data, that the leading cause of death amongst kids is guns every year. Like, that's not true. And but what's the interesting statistic to that that doesn't even show up on the paper is medical malpractice. Like, so they're not holding doctors responsible, probably because of that, like, Hippocratic oath. Like, they're trying to do well by their patient, and they, in the process of them doing well, they make a mistake and they die. I don't know exactly the legal implications to it all, or what the legal nuance to that is. They all do carry professional liability insurance. Doctors do get sued a lot. So, I don't know that I would say that's the exact same thing, because, frankly, I don't even know if the scenario that you talked about is something that actually happens on a regular basis. I'm not sure, but I know that there are a lot of wrongful death suits in professional liability cases with doctors and malpractice and whatnot. But anyway, I don't think it's exactly the same situation. So 844-500-4242 is the number, and we'll go right back to the phones on the other side. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie Carr.
Want more from The Howie Carr Show?
Yes, always.
Watch Howie live at rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show. He's not just another pretty face.
He's an extraordinarily good-looking man.
He's Howie Carr.
There's a little bit of a bromance going on there.
He's Howie Carr, and he's back.
Welcome back. And today's poll question is brought to you by Eden Rafferty, attorney at law. To see what happens to Howie's leg while having cryo performed at Restore Hyper Wellness, go to EdenRafferty.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results so far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarrShow.com, is: would you want to be a juror on a high-profile case? Yes or no?
I would say, for the cool story bro side of it, yes, but probably not while it's happening if it's going to be massively disruptive to my life. However, I would do my duty as an American citizen.
36% now say yes, and 64% say no.
So that's going the other way. Yeah, that's like more people are disagreeing with me. All right. A lot of you want to talk about Israel, so I'm going to tee this up real quick if I can. I don't do anything real quick if you know me. But this comes as zero surprise to me that Iran is attacking Israel, and that there's a cooling off, if you will, of the hearts of man in Israel's attempt to defend itself. And I would even argue that we're seeing now in America, like, all these protests and everything cropping up everywhere and chants like death to Israel, death to America in America. It's unbelievable, but not surprising, because I do believe that, as the Bible predicted, that we will one day see the entire world converge upon Israel. So even the staunchest defenders of Israel right now will one day turn against them and turn their back on them. I stood on Mount Carmel probably about 20 years ago, almost now, about 19 years ago, and looked out over the Jezreel Valley, which Napoleon said was the greatest place on earth to have a battle. And from, you know, Haifa all the way down south to the Dead Sea, this massive battlefield, this natural topography that is like a natural battlefield, right? And so we looked upon that, and our tour guide said, this is the largest Air Force base in Israel right here. And you see like two, what look like roads out in the middle of a field. Everything's underground. It's all subterranean. He said, within seconds or minutes, we can have fighter jets taking off on these runways. And so it's one of the largest military bases. But while I was standing there, there was this amazing just picture of this, you know, the Bible's predicted it. You've heard a lot of people mention the word Armageddon, would have movies talking about it and whatnot. But you can see this like push. And we've even seen it many times through history with the Russian pogroms. And we saw it with the Nazis who were trying to extinguish the Jewish race. And so what does the Bible predict? It predicts that there will be a climactic battle in Israel, and the entire world will descend upon it. So this might just be a harbinger of things to come. It might be a, you know, foreshadowing of it. I don't believe it's going to happen tomorrow, because I do believe there's enough people in this world, and especially in America, that are like, no, this isn't going to happen. And we do, but I also notice a incrementalism towards, like Israel's allowed to defend themselves, but they can't go too far. And we always put handcuffs on their ability to do it. And nobody wants to see war. War is horrible. But frankly, it comes down to if the guy who's trying to kill you is living out in your yard, just locking the door isn't going to work forever. Like if he's really committed to killing you, he's going to get you on your way out the door. He's going to come in through a window, right? Like you got to deal with that problem in the yard, or else you're never going to have safety, or you're never going to have peace. Speaking of which, let's go to the phones. Eric is on the phone, and thanks for holding, Eric. You're next up on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Toby. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to be clear that it's a little misleading to talk about Iran's attack on Israel without mentioning the fact that Israel on April 1st took a highly provocative step and bombed Iran's embassy in Syria. And that was a major violation of longstanding international norms that any nation on earth would have been compelled to respond to militarily. I think it's unfortunate, but, you know, when you look at the context and the fact that they didn't really succeed, they didn't really kill anyone, everything was shot down, the people calling for Israel to respond are out of their minds. They're calling for essentially World War III, because if Israel responds, then the U.S. is going to get involved.
Mm. Well, I want to address your comments on the other side. So thanks for your call, and Eric. I appreciate it. I'm Toby Leary. This is Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, and we've had some interesting and spirited talk. And so just want to address the last caller before the break. You know, number one, we had a Iranian general in a hostile country neighboring Israel, probably pulling some levers and switches on attacks on Israel, because Iran is definitely funding Hamas and armoring and arming Hamas. So I know this is an extremely complicated thing, but you have one country the size of New Jersey with 6 million people in it, maybe it's more now, surrounded by 60 million and also surrounded by a tremendous land mass. And also the country of Israel has Palestinians that serve in their government and work in their, you know, factories and communities, and they're not hostile to them. They have been good neighbors. And, you know, I know I'm going to take some hits for that, but that's the truth. And that's exactly what I saw when I've been there twice. And they do want to live in peace, but yet there's a lot of people that want to push them from the river to the sea and claim death to Israel. And like, it's anti-Semitism on a unbelievable level that you see people, it's just painful to watch, frankly. And if you were to replace the Jewish people with any other race, like, you'd be called out by the woke crowd for even saying it. But for some reason, they're like, no, it's okay to hate them. It doesn't make sense. So anyway, let's go to Alan. You're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you, Toby, for taking my call. And thank you, Toby, for showing your bravery right now. It's so tremendous. And if anybody wants to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's a prayer away right now. Toby, what you said is exactly right. There's a falling away taking place in the Christian community. And it's massive. It's a massive blow to us, and it's a massive blow to the churches right now, because you have progressivism is taking over into our churches. The contemporary churches today are trying to mold like a piece of clay. And that's why Christ, that's why Peter is the rock, because it has to stand, and it has to withstand waves. Because right now, this is why Toby, they didn't want to celebrate Easter. This is why transgenderism was more important to him. You guys need to understand why Barack Hussein Obama hated Christians. He told us to get off our high horse. Okay, this is all because of the hatred of Israel. Because it's more than that. Because they want to create chaos, because the prince of chaos is Satan, you guys. And if the Muslims, who they believe in, the 12th Imam, if they create chaos, and it brings about their king, it brings about their antichrist, and that's what they think. And the more chaos they create, the more hatred, and the more closer they get to the end, like you said, the Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon. And you can see it. And if everybody just takes their place, and like you see it at PTA meetings, you see the parents standing up at all these meetings. That's bravery. And we're going to have to keep this bravery going, because I've been calling Howie for years, and everybody, to keep it going means we have to keep going in the fight. It's going to get worse. This is just the beginning.
Well,
and right now,
Alan, let me do this. I got a lot of people on the phone, and I appreciate the call. And you know what? Here's what I love about the Howie Carr Show. I talk about guns for a living, right? Howie Carr talks about politics, and this show, I'm not afraid to talk about the third rail of, you know, complete the trifecta, which is religion. The three things you don't talk about, you're told, you get in the car to go to Thanksgiving, and it's like, all right, no guns, politics, or religion, right? And here we are. We've completed the trifecta, and I'm okay with that. Like, that's the way it should be. But I appreciate the call, and I agree with what you said. All right, let's go to John. Go ahead, John. You're next.
Hey, Toby. How are you, guy?
Good, good.
Hey, listen, just an oddball question. Have you ever seen the movie, the original movie, The Planet of the Apes?
I've seen parts of it. I can't say I've sat down and watched
Charlton
it start
Heston?
To... Yes, I haven't seen
you
it.
You should, because there is a revelation in there that one of the cult apes reads through this scroll. It's supposed to be an ancient scroll. It's just a movie, but this revelation he reads is almost pinpoint exactly what you're talking about. It's almost mind-blowing the way he read it, you know, but you have to see that movie towards the end.
All right.
And I don't remember the part.
I accept, John. I will do that as homework. Maybe not tonight, but I will. I appreciate it. But thank you very much for the call. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show.
Yeah, this is Jim from Holyoke. Hey, you know, instead of the officers being down on the ground with these protesters for the Israel protests and so forth, why wouldn't the communities, the states, or whatever, announce if there's a protest that you're disrupting the highway, we will pepper spray you. One helicopter with a 5-gallon bucket of pepper spray will send them all home, and no officers will be hurt. There will be no overtime for officers. There'd be a lot of savings, and you did pre-warn them. So it seems like that's a solution to this.
Jim, think about that, though. Like, I mean, I'm okay with pepper spraying them, but not on the highway. Like, that's now you just prolonged the agony of blocking the roadway forever. You need to get them out of the way. And, you know, it's not some veiled threat of some chemical agent infecting their eyes. Like, seriously, if you do this, it's the... You are causing a disruption to the American economy. Like we talk about this right there is the, like, I know Jared and Grace were joking about it. Like you can't yell fire in a crowded building. Well, that's what they're doing times 10 when they decide to block the roadways. Like they're making their issue with whatever's going on in society everybody else's issue in order for them to get the attention so that you'll agree with them. That's domestic terrorism. It really is. That's all it is. It's domestic terrorism. Declare it and say anyone who blocks the roadways, and this is a slippery slope because I kind of agree with it sometimes, right? Like we saw the truckers go up to Canada and descend on the Capitol, and they all kind of blocked up, you know, and we see the farmers doing it in France. And to a certain extent, I agree with it. But also, it's tough when lives are on the line and people could die. Like, maybe rally point in the middle in front of the State House, in front of the Capitol building, no one's going to die because they're not on a bridge where, you know, people need to get in and out. It's like a more of a political statement. So I don't know what the answer is, but if you're potentially causing injury to people, then I think the implication of that law where you can't yell fire in a crowded building needs to apply, right? That's where that is. So Sarah, you're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, I think people missed the point. It was the not so much Palestinian, but Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, who went in and got innocent Israeli women and handcuffed them. And, of course, we know what happened there. Mm. And they took infants. Now, it was them that started it. And, I mean, it's a terrorist organization. We're not talking Palestinians do have right. I have a Jewish friend who has a relative who is an Israeli, and they do have rights in that country, right. And it's wonderful, but you can't have all kinds of caves into another country. I mean, it's just, you know, that's an invasion, and they have no right to do that. I don't care if it's us in Canada or whoever, you know, you just don't do that. You don't allow that to happen.
Yeah, no, it's true, and it's a great point, Sarah. That's something we haven't even touched on. What touched off this whole thing wasn't like two people kind of fighting over some turf. It was a bunch of bad guys kidnapped innocent people and tortured and killed them and paraded their bodies around cities and, you know, started the whole river to the sea chant. Like that proves that you're not going to be able to sit down at the table and negotiate with them. There's really, we're kind of past that point. They're not looking for you to just give them a little more space, right? That's not going to happen. All right. Well, if you want to hold on the lines, we will be back after this. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary.
The Howie Carr Show will be right back. The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, and I'm going to say something again that goes along with what I said earlier and really touch on the third rail of what you don't say at a Thanksgiving or Christmas get-together. But the very reason Israel is a nation today in its original historical homeland, I believe, is what because of what the Bible says that it would happen. And just like I think that the whole world will converge on Israel someday because of what the Bible said it would happen. So never before in the history of mankind has a nation been scattered throughout the world and then returned 2,000 years later to their original homeland spoke their native tongue and formed a country again that has been a serious contributor to the rest of the world. Like, that's never even happened. Like, you know, there's people probably of Mayan descent that are never going to go back to Mexico and become the Mayan nation, right? Like that, and speak their native tongue from ancient times. That's not going to happen. It's just, but it did happen in 1948. So anyway, all right, Thomas, you're next on Howie Carr Show.
All right. So let's just review a little bit about Jews. They make up approximately 16 million people on the planet. They are 0.2% of the world's population. I repeat, 0.02% of the world's population. When it comes to Nobel Peace Prize winners of the 900 or so that have won it, 209 so far have been Jews. Three have been people of the Islamic faith. So that means that people of the Jewish faith, Jews, have won, I think it's 22% or 20% of the Nobel Peace Prizes in science, in humanity and the sciences. You know, I look at that, and I also believe in the biblical scriptures of where the people of Israel came back to their homeland. And I know the history of Israel. I also know that there's 3,800 years of written history in the Holy Quran, the Book of Muslims. Israel and Jews are mentioned well over a couple of dozen times in that holy book. And when I hear ignorant people like Ariana Pressley, a congresswoman from Boston, saying that Israel is an apartheid state, No, they're not.
Right.
All right. And they, Palestinians, Christians, or Arabs, Jews, Druids, whatever, are have the same rights in the state of Israel.
Yeah.
Under South Africa, you know, but anyway, the point being is that what happened on October 7th, there is no forgiving for what Hamas did on that. And they are not freedom fighters. They are butchers. And when Pressley did not denounce that kind of violence, I lost all respect for her and anyone else that whenever they talk about that. And you know something? Israel has been backed into the corner.
Right.
They were backed into the corner in World War II.
Let me stop you right there, Tom. Thanks for the call. And you know what? There's a thing that they abide by, and you're starting to see it. And they're even talking about it. Like, they can't just sit there and hope that the big one doesn't come, like the big bomb doesn't come their way. They have to be proactive because there's so many people that want the destruction of them. And you aptly point out there's like 6 or 8 million people that, like, the rest of the world can't handle the fact that they exist. That's the part that is so shocking to me. Like, and a lot of the people that are standing in these protests, blocking the bridges, are in academia and, you know, trying to wave the flag and say that they're doing some sort of good thing by standing with Hamas. It's unbelievable to me. It's calling good evil and evil good, in my opinion. And again, I'm not saying Israelis have never made a mistake. They have, certainly. Fred, why don't we go to Fred real quick? Quickly, Fred.
Yeah, very quickly. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to make a statement concerning the bridges and the roadways of our country. They are vital national security assets, bridges, roads that lead to airports across bodies of water like into San Francisco. When 9/11 struck, I'm here on Cape Cod. When 9/11 struck, a friend of mine crossed the bridge and was stopped by a security detail that was prior to the bridge, and there was heavy military presence on both sides of the bridges protecting those assets. I cannot believe that we allow these people to stop traffic and to place our nation in dire danger of just the insanity of blocking our egress to our cities and to our airports and to our towns. I watched them today take one person at a time, slowly but surely. They put them in handcuffs and marched them off. I'm sure they're out having dinner together right now and enjoying their laugh over at our expense.
Right.
We've got to be firm and protect these assets. These are very dangerous places that terrorism can strike, and these people just have a free rein.
I agree. We're playing with fire. Think about if you were to barricade people into a building, like chain the doors so they couldn't get out. Think of the potential for life lost in that situation. All right. The Chump Line is next after we come back. I'm Toby Larry sitting in for Howie Carr.